Aw, yeah, guys, this is the Bear Man from the Bear Man Radio Show, bearmanradio.com, for social justice solutions. 2013 is shaping up to be one hell of a year, isn't it? More Americans became unemployed, bankrupt, and foreclosed on than ever. The sham that is the war on terror is now entering its 12th year in keeping the world safe for big oil. We continue to vote for CEOs, lawyers, and G.I. Joe instead of working men and women like ourselves to represent us in Washington. Edward Snowden and Bradley Manning have showed us that our civil liberties are becoming just a glass-cased exhibition instead of inherent and unbreakable rights. Even our founding fathers have been so trivialized that they have been reduced to being unpaid spokesmen for selling cars, beer, and big-screen TVs to be of any real use to us. Our corporate masters have sentenced us to work till we die to pay for all the problems they've created while simultaneously continuing to fund their good time on our backs and our blood. With our rights trampled and our incomes reduced to a subsistence level, soon the only difference between a Chinese worker and you is that the Chinese worker has free health care, pensions, and educations, and you have nothing. All of this has been done sneakily, gradually, and right in front of your face. Our corporate masters use the most unbelievable of propaganda, like regulation is a problem, or that regulation inhibits our economic freedom, or that government oversight is tyranny against all the freedoms we hold dear. Now, isn't that ironic? That a government for and by the people is tyrannical, but corporations that censor your internet access, drug test you, monitor your communications while you're there, and keep tabs on almost all your financial and medical records not. Let me cut to the chase. How can we be a free people when our entire economy is based on and financed by despotic regimes? Furthermore, how can a republic like ours function when it relies on wholly undemocratic institutions? Isn't there a hypocrisy there? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there is. Tons. To illustrate the problem, I would like to compare the basic structure of a publicly traded multinational corporation with the government of the old Soviet Union. In a modern corporation, persons or other legal entities composed of persons, such as trusts, and other corporations have the right to vote or share in the profit of corporations. In the case of a for-profit corporation, these voters hold shares of stock and are thus called shareholders or stockholders, who have the right to vote on its operations. Control of the corporation is determined by a board of directors, which is elected by who? The shareholders. The CEO, president, treasurer, and other titled officers are usually chosen by the board of directors to manage the affairs of the corporation. So now, let's contrast this with the Soviet model of government. The governing body of the Soviet Union, otherwise known as the CPSU, was the Party Congress, which initially met once a year. Each Party Congress would elect a central committee, which in turn would elect a Politburo. The most powerful position in the party became the General Secretary, who was elected by who? The Politburo. In theory, supreme power in the party was invested in the Party Congress. However, in practice, the power structure became reversed and supreme power became the domain of the General Secretary. So now, let's compare the two systems, shall we? The shareholders slash members are exactly the same as the Party Congress. The Party Congress elects a central committee. The shareholders and the members elect the board of directors. The central committee in turn elects a Politburo, which is exactly the same as what? The board of directors. Yes. So, after that's settled, the board of directors is then charged with electing a CEO or a president. The Politburo, in turn, is charged with electing a general secretary or head of the Communist Party. The only real difference, guys, is that the Soviet model has one more layer of voting, which in theory makes the Soviet Union more democratic than a modern corporation. Go figure. Isn't it remarkable that the entity we fought with for over 40 years patterned its entire government on the modern capitalist corporation? Maybe that explains why the communist government in China, which was modeled after the Soviet system, adapted to capitalism so quickly. Because the level of organization and projection of power are identical. Furthermore, we and our communist counterparts, both past and present, have to use an overwhelming amount of propaganda just to keep the system running. Propaganda is the oil of the engine of oppression. We are very familiar with the bold-faced lies of Pravda, or the old Soviet newspaper, or the repressive nature of the Chinese internet now, where the word democracy is censored. Corporations in the U.S. have their own form of propaganda called commercials, which constantly lie to you about everything, ranging from regrowing your hair to pseudo-pharmaceuticals that can make your penis bigger. And if you are lucky enough to watch the corporate media in the run-up to the Iraq War, you would have thought Saddam Hussein was a bigger threat to humanity than Satan and Hitler combined. But we all know better now, don't we? The truth is, a repressive regime benefits more from freedom of speech than to repress it. In the Soviet Union, it was very much obvious who was in power and who was repressing you. In fact, Pravda means truth, and everyone in the Soviet sphere knew that anything that was written in it was all a lie. When one censors, it becomes obvious that the only reason for censorship is to hide the truth. In turn, you know you're being lied to, and you may or may not want to find out what the truth is. But even if you don't want to find out what the truth is, you know with 100% certainty that the government is lying to you. Meanwhile, if you let everyone talk freely or at once, the truth becomes hidden. In fact, the truth becomes so hidden and so elusive that it makes a conversion from being fact into being an opinion. In turn, the more outlets corporations or individuals have to spread their opinions, such as newspapers, radio stations, television networks, and magazines, the more their opinions in turn become fact. One does not have to look too far to find examples of this. Look at AOL Time Warner, or Rupert Murdoch's News Corp, or General Electric's NBC, among others. And how they all sold the Iraq War, and then subsequently blamed it all away on faulty intelligence, when in fact, it was a collaborative piece of corporate propaganda designed to raise support for a wholly illegal act that was perfectly repackaged by the same media as a mistake that no one could have avoided, and thus, no one could be blamed. So much for the terrorists using our freedom against us. What we really need to ask ourselves is why can we vote for the most important office in the land and have little to no say in who rules over us at work? Considering we spend most of our lives working, shouldn't we apply the same criteria to our jobs as we supposedly do to our government? Why not apply democracy across the board and bring a new level of freedom and transparency to our lives? If a free people are funded and owe their livelihoods to undemocratic forces, those people are not free. All my labor for all your things, also you can live the American dream. This is the Bear Man. See you next week.